Hallelujah. And Father, we just come before your throne right now with praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you did come to this earth, born as a baby in a lowly manger, lived a sinless life, died on a cross, so our sins could be forgiven. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll quiet your people down as we get ready to receive a word. Speak through our friend Frank, that he would be bold in what he's about to speak on, and that we would receive what we hear. And we'll give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now remain nice and quiet, if you will.
Boy, I like that, nice and quiet. That song over there, Gold Tailing on the Mountain, that's an American song, believe it or not. People in America came up with that. Down south, they came up with that in the 1600s, 1800s rather. So Gold Tailing on a Mountain, there's glorious news that Jesus Christ is born. And Christmas, you know, people don't like to talk about Christmas. They say happy holidays and stuff now. Well, you know, it's really Christmas. And Christmas is an old English term, which means probably 14, 1300s, meaning Christ's festival. So let's celebrate Christ. Let's not hide him and throw him out and call him a holiday. Let's celebrate Christ, Christmas. And there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, who cares about Christmas? It's all about money and drinking and all the hypocrites, you know, and all this other stuff. You know, but that's what the world says. And I just wanted to kind of give you a brief history of Christmas. I mean, who would think they may know when not the term Christmas, but the concept of Christmas first came up? It came up in the Garden of Eden, okay, way in the beginning. Now, that may be hard to believe, but in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, the second chapter, it just shows you how long it takes for man to sin, not very long. In the second chapter, God, the Creator, told Adam, hey, listen, I'm giving you the most wonderful creation of all earth, the best that's ever happened. You can have everything you want. There's a tree of life over there, but there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what? Don't touch that tree. You can have everything, but not that one tree. And you know, people's curiosity, it's like, well, you know, I wonder about that one tree. So what happened? Yep, Eve and Adam, they made the mistake. They ate off the tree. So because of that one thing, that one decision, bad decision, the whole world was punished for that. It was punished. And there were curses that were given to the serpent. He said, you're going to crawl on the ground all the days of your life and you're going to eat dirt. And that's what happens. And for man, he said, you know, in Eden, all the things just came up and the water came out of the ground. And God had magnificent things there. But now the ground's going to be cursed. You're going to have to work the ground. And if any of you guys ever try to grow a garden, what happens? First you got to water it. Then the weeds come. Then the bugs come. Then if they don't get it, somebody else will get it. A rabbit will take it. You know, so it's tough. So man's got to now work for everything he has. And for a woman, he said, you're going to have birth pains. When you have a baby, you're going to be in pain when you have that. But he said, of the woman, an offspring will come that will crush the head of the serpent, crush the head of the devil. So just think about it. God gave a promise in the Garden of Eden that one day an offspring of the woman will crush the serpent's head. So people waited for that, and they waited for that. So you think the beginning of time, all the way up through, you know, through the Exodus and the Israelites and the Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Assyrians, all the way up. And in they were waiting, people waiting for the sign. What's the sign where we're going to have a Savior come to us, because life is terrible for us? So about 700 B.C., okay, before Christ, you know, people like to say, well, you know, God doesn't really matter. But B.C. means before Christ, you know, not before Charlie, not before Caesar or Cleopatra, or whatever. It's before Christ. So in Isaiah God said that the sign would be this. A virgin will give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now think about that. How could a woman, a virgin, have a baby? But that was a sign given 700 years before Christ came. That was the sign. And there were two other signs that were given. Isaiah is the messianic prophet. He's the one that talks... get away here for a minute. He's the one that talks the most about the coming Savior, you know, Isaiah. And I'm going to read some verses to you, and these may sound very familiar to you. There's a great play in a pageant that's called Handel's Messiah. Have you ever heard of Handel's Messiah? Anybody here? The Alleluia Chorus? You know, what a great thing, you know. And people today, just think about it. Back then, all the people had was the Bible. That was their literature. And all their songs were made from the Bible, just wonderful songs. And listen to this. This is, again, Isaiah, 700 years before Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And listen to this term, the Prince of Peace. We call Jesus the Prince of Peace, don't we? And here, 700 years before he came, it was written down. That's what he's going to be called. It says, of the increase of his government will be no end. And it says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty God will accomplish this. So think about it. 700 years before he came, a prophecy about him. But yet there's more to it than that. We know that Jesus died on the cross, don't we? And yet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53, said the same thing. Listen to this. Surely he took our infirmities. He carried our sorrows, and we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced. You know, he was pierced with his nails and the spear. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The little baby born in the manger, this is what was going to happen to him. And the punishment that brought us peace, our salvation, was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. Now listen to this. He was oppressed and afflicted. He did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Remember when Pilate said, listen, I can free you. Just say something to me. He didn't say nothing. He could have, but he didn't. Just think about that. 700 years before it happened, Isaiah wrote about it. It's an amazing thing. In the book of Galatians, it says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son to redeem those under the law. That was the law was if you sin, you die. If you sin, you have a penalty to be paid. And that's why Christ came and took that penalty for us. He was born in Bethlehem. When Luke it talks about the whole time when they came, but there was no room in the inn for them. Here's the Son of God coming to us to save the world, to save mankind. And there's no room in the inn for him. No place for him. The only people who were there were the animals and the shepherds. Nobody else. The most significant event in history. And this was God's gift to us, the Savior. The angel said that his name was to be Jesus, which means the Lord saved, because he will save the people from their sins, and his kingdom will never end. You know, it says in the fulfillment of time, God waited. I think about this a lot. But why did God choose that one time? Of all the times, why didn't God come today? There's been plays and movies about Jesus coming in different times. But he chose that one single solitary time to come. And so everybody who's here today, myself included, you know, I'm not an aborted baby. Thank God my mother wanted to have me. Same with everybody here in this room. None of us were aborted. A lot of abortions today. I think there's 55 million abortions since 1973. Could be a lot more people in here if those babies weren't aborted. But nonetheless, we're all in here for some reason. And each one of us is seeking to make it through life. And we can only make it, really, with the power of God. And I just wanted to share as I go on. So it says, this song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Yes, we should tell people about Christ. We should tell people Christ has been born. You go in a store and they say, Happy Holidays. Say Merry Christmas to them. Mention the name Christ. You know, I was telling Steve this morning, people long ago were much more spiritually in tune than we are today. We would could be considered spiritually dead to people a couple hundred years or 300, 400, 500 years ago. There's a term B.C., which means before Christ. I said that earlier. And there's a term means A.D. It's a Latin term. It means Anno Domini. That means of the year of the Lord. And so they knew that B.C. was before Christ and A.D. was the year of the Lord. The Lord was born. Those people knew back then to mark in history the most significant event. There's no other time or person in history who's made such an impact on it. So these people long ago, they knew of the coming of Christ. They knew of his death and resurrection. And it's one of the most, in fact, the most significant events in history. His coming, which is Christmas, and his death and dying and resurrection, most importantly, which we look at as Easter. So Christmas, again, people, we see all the stuff in the papers and all the running around. And, you know, buying gifts and stuff is one thing. It doesn't really matter a whole lot. But that's not the meaning of Christmas at all. Christmas really is about hope and about peace. We give gifts and things to one another, maybe to perhaps symbolize the three wise men who came and gave gifts to the baby. But Christmas really is about giving, but yet more than giving, it's about receiving. And, you know, receiving these material gifts is okay. But God has given us, and I just jotted down three things that the Lord, you know, when we come down here, like all of us, Pastor Sam and Pastor Jerry and a lot of other people, we have to ask the Lord to help us because we're really not, you know, we have a lot of things going on in our lives. And we may want to say something, but it's not what the Lord wants us to say. So we say, Lord, just tell us what we should say and what would be meaningful for people. You know, what? How can we give you honor and glory? And the Lord kind of told me there's three things that he gives us. You know, one is the gift of salvation. One is eternal life. And one is the Holy Spirit. There are three gifts. And the gift of salvation, the angel told Joseph, you know, Joseph was pretty shocked that here his wife was pregnant, or wife-to-be was pregnant, and he was a good man and was just going to kind of put her aside. In those days, if a woman was found pregnant, she was stoned. And if they found the man, they did it with him. But most of the time, the man got away. But Joseph didn't know what to do. And the angel appeared to him and said that this baby will save his people from their sins. And he did. That's the salvation that we got. He died for our sins. And in John 3:16, we all know that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but what? Have eternal life. But we have to believe that. And then John 11, Jesus said, when he came to heal and raise Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Now think about that. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. So Jesus was telling everyone that, listen, I can give you life after death. And his resurrection proved that to us, that he was the first to rise from the dead. There's no other person anywhere in the history of all mankind who said, I'm going to die, in 3 days I'm going to raise from the dead. There is nobody who said that, but Jesus did. And the most important thing, when I became a believer, I repented of my sins, but I needed the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, the apostles were afraid because Jesus had been killed, and they were fearful. And then Jesus said, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to leave you with a comforter, a helper, the Holy Spirit. And when he went to heaven, he said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to be my disciples. To what? To be have a prosperity or new cars? No, he said to proclaim the gospel, to be my disciples. That's what he wants of each one of us. You know, having things is okay, but that's really not what Jesus wants of us. He wants us to make disciples and tell others about the gospel so others can get into heaven. I mean, I look at all the people here today, and there's a chance that some people in here aren't going to make it to heaven just because of the odds. You don't want to be one of those people. You want to be one going to heaven. You know, God gives us these gifts, but, you know, if I have a gift sitting here wrapped up and I choose not to open it and receive it, I don't get that gift. So God has gifts for each one of us, but we have to take the gift. We have to receive it. We have to actually ask Him for it. Ask Him for it. And a person may say, like, I'm steeped in sin. I've done terrible things. Well, you know, there's a story of a guy in the Bible who murdered people and who was accomplice to murder. So he was involved in homicide and second, first degree murder. And yet he became one of the greatest evangelists in the Bible. It was Paul the Apostle. He was guilty, and yet the Lord forgave him. I don't think anybody in here has killed a number of people, because you probably wouldn't be in here. You'd be in death row. But no matter what you've done, it's not greater than any sin that anybody else has committed. And Christ has died to pay the price for everybody's sin. You know, the devil will lie to you. He'll say, your sin is too great. What you've done is too bad. God will not forgive you. And it's a lie. Because what did Jesus tell people in Matthew 10:28? He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He didn't say just the good people come to me. He said, all, come. And that's the invitation he has. Come. You know, again, you know, look at the gifts he's given us. You know, he's given us salvation. It's a free gift. He's given us eternal life. It's a free gift. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Again, it's a free gift. Don't have to do anything for it. You know, the wise men brought him gifts, and the little drummer boy gave him a little song. Now, that's not really in the Bible, but it's a nice story, you know, if he really did it. What can we give God? I mean, think about it for a minute. You know, Christmas is a time for receiving. We'll take the gifts God has for us. But what can we give? You know, a lot of us may not be able to give anything. We can give one thing. We can give the most important thing. What can we give God who has everything? You would think, I can't give Him nothing. Well, that's partially true. But God has given each one of us one thing that He doesn't have. He's chosen to give us the same thing He gave Adam and Eve. That's called a free will. He gave them a choice. And He said, Adam and Eve, please don't sin against me. And they did, anyway. And He's telling us, Frank, please don't sin against me. But I do. I'm not perfect. It says all have sinned and come short. Everybody. But listen to this. We can give Him something. We can take the time and say, you know what? I'm going to give the Lord my life. I'm going to give Him my free will. I'm going to give Him my soul. And I'm going to surrender it to Him. That's the only thing He wants from us. He's not going to take it from you. He's not going to beat you over the head and take it. He wants you to freely give it. If we surrender our lives to Christ and become born again, there's a verse that talks about that. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, a lot of people may be sitting here saying, man, I'm not a new creation. I've got a lot of problems. Well, I was saying the same thing years ago. And I surrendered my life to Christ. I was steeped in drugs. I was stuck. I was locked. I couldn't get out. I was running around in circles, going, you know, back and forth, up and down. Do this, do that. You know, I'm going here, I'm going there. And the Lord must have been shaking His head, saying, man, one day you're going to get it right. Well, it took me a while. And I gave my life to Christ. I asked for the Holy Spirit. And my life didn't change immediately, although for some people it does. It took me a while. But you all need to think about that. You know, I know a lot of folks are coming in and it's a little bit noisy, but, you know, we're going to close up. But again, remember, if I don't dismiss you, we're not going to have any food. We're not going to have any clothes. So we really want people just to sit. We're going to have another song. I'm going to pray for everybody. I want you to think about your life, where you are today. You know, and maybe you'll give your life to Christ today. Maybe you'll say, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of spinning. I'm tired of this stuff. I can't take it. I want to know that if I'd walked out this door and I have a heart attack. I know a lot of people, you know, once you cross 50, 55, 60, you see a lot of people start dying off younger than you for no reason. Just to go to bed and they die. We had know of a guy who was a genius. He had a machine shop in his garage. He had everything. He had a cerebral hemorrhage and died just like that. Gone. I don't know if he knew Jesus. I hope he did. So my question to you is this. You know, who in this room will give their life to the Lord? If you die today without accepting Christ, the person who doesn't, you know, whoever in here runs the risk of going to hell. Pastor Jerry over here talks about Luke 16, the lake of fire. The rich man was burning up in hell, and he said, just please have someone touch my brow with a drop of water. That's all I want, a drop of water. And Abraham said, no, there's no water for you down here. That lake of fire is down there, and everyone's going to it unless your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which means you're born again. I thank you for always giving that message. You know, we forget. We're short-minded, you know. Did he really say that? Yes. And he keeps bringing that message up, and the Lord put on his heart to make that message a message of his ministry. I thank you, Pastor Jerry. And listen, think about this today. If you die today without Christ, this is the best deal you got. This is the best situation you have if you die today without Christ. Now think about it. Is this really what you want as the best situation in life? Whereas if you die today with Christ, think about it. This is the worst it will be for you. It will be no worse than this if you're a Christian. Because in heaven there's no crying or mourning or sorrow or hurt. All there is eternal life, eternal blessing in heaven. But you've got to be a believer. You've got to give your life to Christ. All right. Now, listen. Now, if we don't want to get up, because if we get up, I'm going to sit down. And it's going to be a long morning, so we're not going to do that. Steve, well, I was going to play a song here. A little something for us to reflect upon on Christmas. All right. Nice picture. Do you guys know Robbie here? Robbie. God bless you, man. We talk about him. Where has he been all these years?
Watch the TV.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're okay. That's the good thing, right? Well, amen. Rock of Ages. Robbie loved that song, Rock of Ages. Okay, we've got to settle down now. Okay, listen. I'm going to sit down if we get up, so let's keep it down. Just a couple quick things here. Boy, that's a good Christmas gift for us to see Robbie, isn't it? Amen. The Lord loves us, and the Lord loves everybody. Okay, now listen. We're gonna wind it up, but we can't get up. We gotta sit down. Now we don't have to wait till December 25th, Christmas, to talk about Jesus and the meaning of Christ. God sent Jesus, who died for our sins, and if we confess our sins and believe that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved. I'm gonna pray in a minute, but I want to just tell you a couple verses. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We sin daily. I mean, everybody sins daily. There's no perfect person. That same verse says, if a person says he's without sin, he's a liar. Everybody sins. But you know what? Thank God we can come to Him. In Romans 10:9 and 10 says this, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He died for everybody in here, but you got to call upon him. I want to pray in a minute, but I want to say something that's even more important. Many people pray. I remember as a young man praying. I watched Billy Graham many times and praying many, many times. Going by the TV and praying and praying. But you know, I kept falling into sin. And it wasn't until I got so low that I really had to say, I cannot do this anymore. I've got to give my life to the Lord. And I made a strong commitment to do that. And when we pray, and if you pray this prayer and you're sincere about it, you have to repent of what you're doing. And it took me a while to understand that, but I finally repented of what I was doing. And repentance means this: I'm sinning, I'm going along the sinful way. And repentance means this: Lord, I'm not going to sin anymore. And I go back and I don't ever come this way again. And praise the Lord, I've never taken drugs again. The Lord has saved me from that addiction. And I asked him, I said, your word says don't be filled with wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And I said, well, Lord doesn't say anything about be filled with drugs. And it took me a long time to say, you know, the Lord kept telling me, you're stupid. It means the same thing, you know. And yes, I said, okay. I said, Lord, if that is what you want me to do, take that desire away from me. Many years of doing it, and that desire was gone just like that. But I really, really wanted it, and I was sincere. And I said, I'll receive what you have to give me. So let's do this. We're going to pray, then we're going to talk just for a minute, then we'll go from there. So let's all pray. Let's all bow our heads. Open up our hearts. This is Christmas. Jesus came to die for us. The little baby was born. I believe twice a year, the Holy Spirit, God extends special grace and mercy twice a year. Now is the time, this Christmas time and Easter, a special blessing, a special opening is there for each one of us. The childlike part in our heart. We don't want to fight against people. We don't want to have bad times. We want our Father to hug us. We want what's good for us. Now is the time. So let's just bow our heads and open our hearts. And let me just say this prayer with you, okay? You could say it along with me. Father, I am a sinner. And Father, your word tells me if I confess my sins, you are faithful and just, and you'll forgive me. So, Father, forgive me of my sins. And, Father, like your word tells us, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I confess Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that he was raised from the dead, and I accept the gift, those gifts of the Holy Spirit of eternal life and salvation, I accept them, and I want them in my life and in my heart. I ask you, Father, come into my life. And most importantly, please fill me with your Holy Spirit, because I want to make a difference for Christ. I want this Christmas to be different. I may not have much, but I have an important thing. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And I can tell somebody. I can tell my neighbor. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Hear our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, stay seated. Please, stay seated. We've got to stay, hey Richard, we've got to stay seated because we want some order here. This is the most important time. You know, if you've prayed that prayer and you've been struggling all your life, that's called giving your life to Christ. If you've given your life to Christ as a young person, you could say, I've rededicated my life to Christ. But you can't stop it there. You've now got to tell somebody. You should tell your parents if they're alive or somebody in your family. And I want to tell you something that's very important. We look at a room this large. I know this will make sense. If anybody in here has offended anybody else, you should tell that person, listen, I'm sorry. I did the wrong thing. Forgive me for being wrong. Now, if everybody in here is good, that's great. That's wonderful. But I can guarantee you that there's somebody in here who somebody offended you, or you may have offended them. You should do the right thing and say, you know what? I forgive you. Wherever that is. And then the next part is, once you accept Christ, the moment you go out this door, the devil's waiting for you right out there. He's going to jump you as soon as you go out the door. It could be in the form of an enemy. It could be in the form of anything. Someone selling you something. The thing you have to do is you have to pick up this thing called the Bible. This is God's word. It says, how can a young man keep his ways pure? I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. It's here in the word. You have to read this word. It's important. If you're not good at reading, you can get the Bible on CD. They're all in the library right down here. But you got to get into this. We have a men's discipleship group. There's a lot of men here. Carl has that group at 10:30. Men, if you're serious, is it? You can say something about that? The men's group? Okay, thank you. I'm glad you go to that. But you know, he gave us everything. What are we giving him? Can we give him an extra half an hour after this to meet and read the Bible? And it's only for our own good. It'll strengthen us and help us. So I'd encourage you to do that. Be involved with other Christians. Now, you guys have done a very, very good job. Very good job. And with that, I would like to say one other thing. If you're in need of prayer, we have this altar here. There may be other things on your heart that people have to pray with you and help you to get over. If you want a closer walk with the Lord and more prayer, come up here. There'll be men here to pray with you. And with that, I would say you're dismissed to go to the food line and go to the clothesline. Thank you for your attention.